Not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. Hope everybody had a festive meal yesterday and enjoyed it and didn't overdo too much. I'm going to talk a little bit about the foods of the season in just a couple of minutes, but I wanted to start with a thing that I read that I thought was interesting, and it has to do with the cholesterol-lowering medications, the statins. And the finding is that statins can help women with breast cancer. There have been earlier studies that have found that statins might help to stop tumor growth. This study found that taking statins can reduce the risk of death for women with breast cancer. Now, high cholesterol is associated with a greater risk of breast cancer, and statin use interrupts cancer cell signaling and tumor development, so reducing the mortality among women with breast cancer. This was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's network Open Access this month, and they found that the risk of dying was substantially lower in women with breast cancer whose cholesterol levels dropped after starting statins, which are the most commonly prescribed lipid-lowering medications. Past research has suggested that high cholesterol might be associated with a greater risk for breast cancer, and again, interrupting cancer cell signaling and tumor development seems to be the mechanism. So what this suggests is that statins may be beneficial for people with breast cancer. It's the most common cause of cancer death among women across the world. But it's kind of neck and neck with lung cancer. Lung cancer really is the leading cause of mortality as far as cancers are concerned. But this is a potentially beneficial role for statins in breast cancer treatment, and it highlights the importance of cholesterol management in cancer prognosis. So you've got multiple morbidities, if you will, because you've got the obvious cardiovascular and stroke implications of having deranged lipid levels, but also this cancer information. So the difference is that this was found in women that had estrogen receptor positive tumors. The risk further declined with increasing intensity of statin use, so that would mean higher doses and more of a decline in cholesterol levels in the women that had breast cancer. And the risk of death did not drop in women whose cholesterol levels did not substantially decrease after starting statins. And this was also the protective benefit was also only apparent in women who had localized disease. The researchers suspect that statins may not improve survival rates among women with metastatic breast cancer. So it's just an interesting finding. Lowering cholesterol and influencing cell behavior as far as statins are concerned. So just an interesting thing, something we didn't know about those medications. Now, we are at a festive point in the year, and there's a lot of gathering that happens, and the foods that we eat are likely to be a little different than the stuff that we eat during other times of the year, and the recipes get to be a little bit heavier. They get to be, things get a little sweeter. There's more sugar. There's more brown sugar. There's more eggs. There's more cream. There's more of a lot of the foods that are likely to spike your cholesterol levels. So the holiday season can put a strain on your heart health because of the amount of unhealthy food that's consumed. And if we frequently eat unhealthy foods during the holiday season, it can cause cholesterol levels to spike as much as 20%, and that would be a big increase in your risk of heart attack and stroke. So it's a happy time of year, but research shows that bad cholesterol levels spike the most during this time of year. Also, we notice around the holidays that there's a pretty consistent 3 or 4 or 5 pound weight gain as people start to eat a bit more around yesterday, Thanksgiving, and also drink more alcohol. So the combination of splurging on unhealthy food and drinks and experiencing the stress that's caused by the busyness of the season, the shopping, the traveling, attending parties, leaving less time for mindful eating, and above all, exercising, all of this combined can have a negative impact on the heart. The 3 days that have the largest number of heart attacks in the entire calendar of the year are December 25th, December 26th, and January the 1st. So, cholesterol. There's two kinds of cholesterol. There's the low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, which is often called the bad cholesterol. That makes up most of the body's cholesterol, and having elevated LDL puts you at risk for heart disease and stroke. So cholesterol travels in the arteries and the vein, and it gets into the blood vessel wall, and it induces the formation of plaque. So you could look at an analogy of rust. It starts a process of rusting the arteries, and that predisposes you to the development of heart attacks if it's in the coronary arteries. Or if the cholesterol is in the carotid circulation, it predisposes you to a stroke. And here in America, many people have too much LDL cholesterol. We really consider that somebody that has an LDL over 100 milligrams per deciliter has elevated cholesterol. So the HDL, that's the high-density lipoprotein, we call that the good cholesterol because it absorbs cholesterol in the blood and it carries it back to the liver, which then eliminates it from the body. So having higher levels of HDL cholesterol, It likely will never be higher than the LDL, but unless you're taking a statin, in which case that could happen. You could end up with HDL and LDL close to the same number, but it lowers the risk for heart disease and stroke. Now, there's another lipid, a kind of fat in the blood called triglycerides, and that's the type of fat in the blood that's used for energy. It also plays a role in heart health. If you have high triglycerides and low HDL and or high LDL, you're at increased risk of a heart attack because the high triglycerides can lead to inflammation in the blood vessel walls, which makes it easier for the plaque to build over time. So about 15 to 20% of cholesterol levels are affected by lifestyle habits like diet and exercise, whereas 85% of cholesterol is made in the liver. And there are genetic influences also. So diet and exercise are very important and can assist in the treatment of many diseases, but it is hard to control cholesterol with diet and exercise alone. The good news is, though, decreasing the amount of saturated fats in your diet and getting 30 to 45 minutes of aerobic and weight-bearing movement 4 to 5 times weekly can reduce the LDL cholesterol up to 10 to 20%. But there are some other little tools that you can use. soluble fibers. So think Cheerios, think oatmeal, think Metamucil. They can help to reduce cholesterol by about 10%. Foods that have been boosted with plant sterols and stanols in combination with a really healthy diet can lower cholesterol. Some oils and butters help increase HDL, which then balances and decreases slightly the LDL. And nuts are a great source of fiber. They contain healthy monounsaturated fats that increase HDL and in turn reduce LDL. But this is a biggie for me: limiting foods that are high in sugar and the simple carbohydrates. That keeps the triglycerides down, and that boosts HDL. When triglycerides come down, HDL goes up. So we'll get into a little more depth after the break, but right now it is time for a message from my sponsor, so we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about Totally Zen. Have you ever felt off after a bad night's sleep, a busy few days, or even an unfortunate life event? Chances are your mind-body balance is off. Scientifically formulated with GABA, L-theanine, and B vitamins, Totally Zen can help promote calmness and mental clarity while easing occasional nervous tension and stress, getting you back to being your best self. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about fish oil. Did you know a single teaspoon of Carlson, the very finest fish oil, provides 1,600 milligrams of omega-3s to promote heart, brain, vision, joint, and immune health? It's made from high-quality, sustainably sourced, deep cold water fish and has won numerous awards for its taste and quality. Try it in lemon, orange, mixed berry, or just peachy flavor. Visit carlsonlabs.com to learn more.
Healthy vision. It's important to us. Carlson Right for the Macula supplies the nutrients to promote healthy vision. Carlson Right for the Macula provides substantial amounts of nutrients, lutein and DHA, which are key to a healthy macula. And a healthy macula is vital to our healthy vision. High dietary intakes of lutein and DHA may protect our macula from harmful processes that diminish our central vision. Recent research suggests that taken together, lutein and DHA may work synergistically to maintain the health of our macula. Ask for Carlson Right for the Macula at finer health food stores today. Or go to carlsonlabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
And I'm back, and what we're talking about is how to avoid increasing cholesterol at the end of the year when we are in the festive season. So right before we broke there, I suggested limiting foods that are high in sugar and refined carbohydrates, and certainly be very, very just don't with the ultra-processed foods. I'm going to say more about that a little later in the show today, too. But the Mediterranean diet or the MIND diet or the DASH diet, if you have high blood pressure, those are the go-tos because they're all low in saturated fat and they all feature lots of healthy fruits and vegetables, which you can eat to your heart's content, to, you know, have a little pun going on because we're talking about heart health. The American Heart Association agrees with my thoughts on that. The Mediterranean diet helps to achieve the Heart Association's recommendations for a healthy dietary pattern that focuses on vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, and legumes, low-fat or fat-free dairy products, fish, poultry, olive oil to cook with, avocado oil to cook with, grapeseed oil, nuts, and limiting added sugars, sugar-sweetened beverages, sodium, ultra-processed foods, refined carbohydrates, saturated fats, and fatty or processed meats. Now, beyond that, there is a place for medication in cholesterol management. Half of Americans have cholesterol levels that are elevated enough to warrant medication, and many of those people don't take the medications or are not being treated or are not even aware that they're at risk. And probably the reason that the number one cause of death is atherosclerosis, which is thickening or hardening of the arteries, either from coronary or carotid disease, is that there are so many people with elevated cholesterol who should be treated and are not treated. And I think doctors should be more assertive about treating cholesterol, but patients also need to comply. Patients need to be in compliance when medications are recommended. So statins are the first-line treatment in addition to diet and exercise. Not only do they lower the total cholesterol and they lower the bad LDL cholesterol and they lower triglycerides, they also increase the HDL good cholesterol. They are able to decrease inflammation in the blood vessel walls. They stabilize plaque. So all around, they provide cardiac protection. If the statins are not tolerated well or they don't reduce the levels enough, there are other options that you can add. There's a new treatment called Leqvio, which is an HCP, healthcare practitioner, administered injection. It's an add-on therapy to a statin regimen and diet and exercise routine. They give it twice a year after two initial injections. So as we approach the end of the year, it's a great time to think about heart health because the holiday season is a good time to look at your current eating and exercise habits and think about ways that maybe you could tweak them to be healthier in the new year. And once you set those goals, talking about them with your friends and with your family so that they can support you, talking about them with your healthcare provider to help keep you focused and help you reach your goals in the healthiest way possible, because being proactive is the best thing that you can do for your health. Many people don't even know that they have coronary artery disease until they have an event, which can be a heart attack or it can be sudden cardiac death. Too late then. So one of the most important things is for patients to advocate for themselves. You can start by asking your doctor to do a coronary calcium scan, which identifies hard plaque. It's recommended for men that are over the age of 45 and women who are perimenopausal or older. It can identify plaque buildup years before the plaque would cause an event, allowing for an opportunity to use preventive treatment. We have the capability to achieve optimal cholesterol levels in almost all patients now. So there's no excuse. From availability of medications and lifestyle modifications, you need to know your cholesterol level. And it's important to be assertive about having your doctor on top of things when it comes to recommendations for a healthy lifestyle and to identify the presence of disease. So atherosclerosis isn't just a danger for people that are in the middle age or older age group. Atherosclerosis, silent atherosclerosis, can also be especially deadly for young people. There was a new study that finds that risk factors like high cholesterol and high blood pressure should be addressed earlier in life to help prevent atherosclerosis. That's the hardening of the arteries that is because of the buildup of plaque from calcium and fats and cholesterol. The condition drastically increases the risk of cardiac events. So we think of it as being associated with older adults, but there was a study that was just published this Monday outlining an increased risk to younger adults for silent atherosclerosis. And saying that really we should first be looking at people in their 20s for for high cholesterol, and for high blood pressure, to address those issues earlier in life to prevent the disease from developing further. And the study analyzed key arteries, including the carotid artery, the femoral artery, and coronary arteries and aortas of around 4,000 healthy middle-aged employees of a bank in Madrid. It was done in Spain. And they found that even moderate increases in blood pressure and cholesterol were shown to significantly impact the risk of atherosclerosis in younger adults. So testing earlier in life, between the ages of 20 and 25, and aggressively mitigating risk would be beneficial. We need to start assessing cardiovascular risk earlier, including during checkups in early adulthood. So we know that with the physiological changes that come with aging, older adults are still at the highest risk. It's arterial stiffness, there is the progression of atherosclerosis, increased vulnerability to oxidative stresses and inflammation. There's cumulative exposure to risk factors like high blood pressure and high cholesterol that amplifies the cardiovascular risk as we age. But even seemingly healthy younger adults should be monitored for risks. And genetic traits also play a role. We know that people with a family history of cardiovascular diseases may face increased risk, warranting early testing and vigilant monitoring. Because in young people, the progression of what is a deadly condition can be silent. It can go undetected. So here are warning signs that should be, these are lifestyle-related signs that suggest an elevated risk for atherosclerosis, and they should be adults that do these things or that these things are true about need to be monitored between the ages of 20 and 39. Tobacco use, high blood pressure, hypertension, a family history of atherosclerosis, being diabetic, preeclampsia in pregnant women, and early menopause. There are also a number of sleep disorders that can play a role. Obstructive sleep apnea, which is one in four people between the ages of 30 and 70, can significantly increase the risk of cardiovascular disease. And sleep apnea and poor sleep quality more generally are emerging as noteworthy factors. Disrupted sleep patterns lead to increased stress on the heart and on the cardiovascular system. So we need to look at, you know, the big picture when it comes to lifestyle. Younger people could be on antihypertensive medications. They can be on cholesterol-lowering medications. They can get diet counseling. The sooner you start actively participating in healthy aging, we're all aging. At every age, we are all aging. The earlier we begin to adopt healthy habits, the more likely we are to be vigorous and be stronger, to live stronger longer, which is really what the goal is. It's not so much about, at the end of life, adding a little more time, the lifespan extension, as much as it is health span, extending a period of time where you're at your best. And you're feeling energetic, and you feel strong, and you're able to comfortably go about the things, the activities, the pursuits that bring you happiness. You know, so that being vigorous and being healthy is a really important part of that. And it really may be that we need to be looking at younger people. We've all heard the stories about young athletes that have a cardiac arrest on the playing field or in a practice field. So we know that even children are vulnerable to the damage of high intake of saturated fats, too much sugar, and the whole standard American or Western pattern diet. So if children can have high cholesterol and children can have early stages of atherosclerosis, then people in their 20s most certainly can. And that seems to be, based on this study in Spain, a really good time to first start having these conversations. It's time for us to go out to another break. This is Food for Thought. I will be back in about 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Today will be mostly sunny and breezy in the upper 40s, mostly clear for tonight, frigid in the low 20s, then mostly sunny for tomorrow in the mid to upper 30s. Tomorrow night will be mostly cloudy and cold in the mid 20s, a mix of sun and clouds for Sunday, occasional afternoon showers developing in the low 40s, then occasional morning showers for Monday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about vitamin D. Stronger bones, heart and muscle health, boosted immunity, all by taking Carlson Vitamin D. We're proud to offer strengths and forms for the whole family. Choose from convenient liquid drops for babies, adults, and kids, soft gels in strengths from 1,000 to 10,000 IUs, or delicious vegetarian gummies. Try them today. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about cod liver oil. Our cod liver oil is sustainably sourced from the highest quality wild Arctic cod off the coast of Norway and has won numerous awards for its taste and quality. One teaspoon provides 1,100 milligrams of omega-3s, which support heart, brain, vision, joint, and immune health. Try it in lemon, green apple, fruit splash, or natural flavor. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about cod liver oil. Our cod liver oil is sustainably sourced from the highest quality wild Arctic cod off the coast of Norway and has won numerous awards for its taste and quality. One teaspoon provides 1,100 milligrams of omega-3s, which support heart, brain, vision, joint, and immune health. Try it in lemon, green apple, fruit splash, or natural flavor. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about enhanced mobility. At Carlson, we take joint health seriously. That's why we offer Enhanced Mobility, a unique, high-potency blend of nature's most recognized nutrients for joint health, like Boswellia, curcumin, ginger, and tart cherry. Two soft gels taken daily promote healthy joint function and mobility. Here's to healthier joints and a happier you. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I'm back, and there was an interesting finding that was published a little bit earlier this month, and it involves the Life's Essential Eight. This is an American Heart Association program. It's an initiative, and I've talked about it a number of times, and it is heart healthy habits that not only help to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke, but also reduce the risk of dementia when we get older. Well, there's another finding now around the Life's Essential Eights, and it is that these eight heart-healthy habits may slow biological aging by up to 6 years. So this is a checklist. It includes lifestyle changes that are designed to improve cardiovascular health. And so American Heart Association held their annual scientific sessions meeting, and it was earlier this month, as I mentioned, the 11th through the 13th of this month. And they reported that having high cardiovascular health is defined by adherence to the Heart Association's Life Essential Eight, may slow the biological aging by an average of 6 years. It lowers risk for cardiovascular disease and other diseases associated with aging. So the checklist includes getting good sleep, abstaining from smoking, engaging in regular physical activity, eating a healthy diet, maintaining a healthy weight, and having healthy blood sugar and cholesterol levels, and keeping blood pressure in the normal range. So what they did was they examined how well people followed the Life's Essential 8 checklist to gauge their cardiovascular health. The 8 measures were averaged, and the score was used to place people in high, moderate, or low cardiovascular health categories. And then they measured the biological aging process by calculating the study participants' phenotypic age. Phenotypic age is based on chronological age plus the results of 9 blood tests that are chosen to measure metabolism, inflammation, and organ function. And to determine each person's phenotypic age acceleration, the difference between their chronological and their phenotypic age was calculated to see if they were aging faster or slower relative to their chronological age. So there were 6,500 adults that were involved in this study, and the researchers found that the people with high cardiovascular health were physiologically younger than their age. On average, their chronological age was 41, but their biological age was 36. On the other hand, those with low cardiovascular health were found to be aging faster than expected. These individuals had an average age of 53, but their average biological age was 57. So they were actually 53, but their bodies were about like 57. And if people had the highest Life's Essential 8 score, meaning the person had high cardiovascular health, they had a biological age that was 6 years younger in comparison to the people with the lowest scores. So biological age encompasses the array of physiological changes that occur when people grow older. And the changes are mainly influenced by age-related alterations in gene function. And these changes impact the function of the immune system, the metabolism, cardiovascular system, and the brain. And they can have potentially adverse effects on our health. Studies indicate a strong connection between these changes and epigenetic modifications, particularly age-dependent DNA methylation alterations. And those regulate gene function. So the process of DNA methylation change is often referred to as an epigenetic clock. So the typical person has an expected lifespan of about 100 years, and there can be variation between individuals. So this epigenetic clock can serve as a better reflection of our health state than our age, as stated on our driver's license, for example. And the rate at which this clock advances may be partly genetically inherited, but it's increasingly evident that lifestyle and environmental factors and social influences also impact the pace of aging. So how do you slow down biological aging? The Life's Essential 8 habits are believed to influence gene programming, likely through epigenetic mechanisms. And these habits engage with the regulatory circuits that change with age, sending crucial signals that reset epigenetic programs to a more youthful state. And there's evidence to support the idea that lifestyle factors like diet and sleep and exercise all modify epigenetic programs. Now, it's not known exactly what the mechanism is by which these habits affect DNA methylation and other epigenetic processes, so it remains an exciting and very active field of research. So how do you follow the Life's Essential 8 checklist? To adopt it over the long term, it's important to first take note of where you are in your health journey and know that you can improve upon it. Wherever you're starting out, even small changes can make a big difference if you continue to build on them over time. So you want to stay engaged with your healthcare team or make use of community resources in order to gauge your progress. Maybe your blood sugar level is higher than you want it to be, or your blood pressure numbers are higher than you want them to be. That's a great opportunity to set a goal and develop a plan with your doctor. And knowing the checklist can change your health, can change it for the better, can go a long way toward helping you accomplish your health goals. So it's just an interesting thing. I've always really liked the whole construct of the Life's Essential 8. It started out Life Simple 7, but then through the pandemic, it became so obvious that sleep needed to be considered as an important factor in healthy lifestyle, so they added sleeping well. And we know this. We know this. I can see you collectively rolling your eyes every time I talk about the Mediterranean diet or the MIND diet, eating healthy, exercise. It's the same thing over and over again. But the reason that I keep talking about it is because so many people don't. It's estimated that only 1 in 10 people in America eat the recommended number of servings of fruits and vegetables. So they're out there, and we could be eating that, but 1 in 10 people actually does. So there's just everywhere to go. You know, there's so much room for improvement, but I think that's a good thing. And this is a time of year when it is a great idea to take stock of these factors and make some choices, make some resolutions, if you will, that, you know, okay, I need to lose a little bit of weight. How am I going to do that? I personally think that Weight Watchers is a great successful way to get a handle on your weight, because you are paying close attention to everything that you eat in the course of a day. And they've got a point system. And when you look at how many points something is, it can be absolutely shocking. And a personal example, I've got family members. We get together sometimes for a long weekend. They love to go out in the morning, and they like to go to Hardee's, and they like to get the breakfast biscuits, the chicken biscuit at Hardee's. And that little sucker is 24 points. Now, it depends how much weight you have to lose. You probably only have, the points are only going to be probably in the 20s somewhere for your entire day's intake of food and beverages. That biscuit is 24 points. I looked at pumpkin pie yesterday just for fun. Wanted to see. 14 points for one that was made with low-fat milk. And I think that, you know, if it was a full-fat dairy constructed pumpkin pie, it was up in the 20s for one slice. So, you know, it's not a perfect system, but it certainly does make you consider every little choice that you're making. And it's so easy this time of year to overindulge. This is the season of that. So the Life's Essential 8 helps us to measure where we are, and the blood sugar is probably one of the bigger problems that we have. And there are so many things that you can do to help you support having better blood sugar levels. So not even a complete list, but there are dietary supplements that help you manage your blood sugar levels. And in general, in the macronutrients, fat, fiber, and protein slow the spike of blood sugar after a meal. So you want to make sure the fiber, that's going to be in either whole grains or it's going to be in the fruits and vegetables there could be some fiber and some nuts. You want the fat to be healthy, and you should have protein at every meal. But there are supplements, omega-3s, dietary fiber. As simple as something like Metamucil, magnesium, cinnamon, CoQ10 lowers after meal blood sugar levels, the amino acid glycine, which you stir the powder into water and drink it, berberine, an alkaloid supplement that lowers total cholesterol, lowers blood sugar, supports a better A1C. There are a lot of different things that you can do to tweak that blood sugar number, and an at-home test for A1C is available. So I think that, you know, it's the season of celebration and revelry and camaraderie and getting together with the family, but it's also a great time of year to take stock. This is Food for Thought. We're going out to one more set of messages. I will be back in about 2 minutes.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today.
Welcome to Carlson Corner. Today we'll be chatting about maximum omega. It's a fact. Most of us don't eat enough fatty fish to reach the recommended intake of omega-3s. And that's where maximum omega comes in. Sustainably sourced from the highest quality deep cold water fish, Maximum Omega 2000 provides 2,000 milligrams of omega-3s per serving. And our Maximum Omega Minis boast 1,000 milligrams. Try it today. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more. And today we'll be chatting about melatonin. Melatonin, produced by the pineal gland in the brain, is a hormone that helps regulate when we fall asleep and when we wake up. Carlson offers melatonin in delicious vegetarian gummies for adults, or strawberry lemon flavored chewables. Safe for the whole family ages 4 and up, melatonin promotes relaxation and a healthy sleep pattern. Visit CarlsonLabs.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I am back, and I know that I have talked a lot about ultra-processed food consumption, but a new study found a link between certain ultra-processed foods and a higher risk of developing multiple health conditions like heart disease and cancer. So it was a large study. It found the ultra-processed food consumption increased the risk of diabetes, cancer, and heart disease. Multiple comorbidities, the greatest risk was linked to processed animal-based products and artificial sweeteners. So it's no secret that ultra-processed foods are not healthy, and there's no shortage of studies that detail their impact on our health. They're usually mass-produced. They include packaged breakfast cereals, cookies, reconstituted meat products, instant noodles, sweetened sodas. But less well known is the association between specific ultra-processed foods and the risk of multiple health conditions or multimorbidities. So this was a new study that looked at ultra-processed food consumption and the co-occurrence of two or more chronic diseases like cancer, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes. We know that high consumption of certain ultra-processed foods raise the risk of cancer and cardiometabolic multimorbidity, but not all the foods had the same effect. The breads and the cereals and the plant-based products were not associated with a higher risk. So it's already a substantial burden for you and for doctors handling one disease, but having a disease along with another disease makes it much harder. So when we look for risk factors that can inform the prevention of multimorbidity involving diseases like cancer and diabetes and heart disease, it's very motivating for people who work in the field of preventive medicine. So the study was co-funded by the World Cancer Research Fund International and other cancer groups, and it was published in the journal The Lancet. So they examined the data from the EPIC study, and it was more than 250,000 participants, 60% of them female, across 7 European studies, and they were free of cancer, heart disease, and type 2 diabetes when they were recruited. And then they followed them for a little more than 11 years. So the strongest association of multimorbidities and consumption of ultra-processed foods was in animal-based products and artificially and sugar-sweetened beverages. So losing the taste for sweetened beverages is probably a good place to start. That is a habit that's easy for all of us. Developing the ability to drink things without adding sugar or artificial sweeteners. Go try some of all the different. There are so many of them now. They fill entire aisles at the grocery store of the sparkling beverages, you know, and or water with some fruit squeezed in. Slices of lemon, slices of orange, slices of lime, cucumbers. Cucumber and mint in water is delicious. So sweetened beverages was one of the most unhealthy associations. And it was interesting to me that the grain foods, the breads, the cereals, were not associated with increased risk in this particular study. Now, it is important to eat whole grain foods rather than the white flour foods, but it's less harmful to your health to eat, for example, some kind of breakfast cereal or bread than it is the sugar-sweetened beverage or the artificially sweetened beverage or pepperoni pizza. You know, the processed animal foods are really problematic. But a lot of people opt for ultra-processed foods out of convenience and sometimes for economic reasons. So read food labels to avoid hidden sugars, excessive sodium, and other harmful additives. Whole grain cereals are a better choice compared to sugary cereals. They're less processed, they're packed with beneficial fiber and nutrients. Choosing whole grain or sprouted bread over white bread provides the body with complex carbohydrates and essential nutrients. For vegans and vegetarians, minimally processed tofu and tempeh is healthier than heavily processed plant-based products like meatless deli slices and cheese substitutes, because those often contain high levels of sodium and preservatives and other additives. So what were the worst? The ultra-processed foods undergo an additional stage of processing compared to processed foods. They're often loaded with artificial flavors and sweeteners, and they will have very long lists of ingredients. So here's some examples. Fried foods, hot dogs, processed meats, bacon, salami, pepperoni, flavored potato chips, candy bars and some snack bars, ice cream, soda. So what do the ultra-processed foods do to the body? The animal products are high in saturated fats. That increases LDL. The chemicals found in red and processed meats increase their carcinogenic potential. One such chemical, heme, that is present in red meat forms harmful compounds during digestion and can damage bowel cells, potentially leading to colorectal cancer. Another process occurs when processed meat is preserved with nitrite or nitrate preservatives. Those kinds of products over time can cause chronic inflammation, cellular damage, increased oxidative stress. Artificial sweeteners have been linked to obesity, which increases the risk of developing other chronic conditions. The World Health Organization recently classified aspartame as a potential carcinogen. Erythritol, another popular sweetener, has been linked to elevated risk of heart attack and stroke. And some of those chemical alternatives have adverse effects on gut health, which disrupts the balance of beneficial bacteria in the digestive system. And that can lead to inflammation, intestinal permeability, and other digestive issues. High sugar intake results in insulin resistance, which is a key factor in the development of type 2 diabetes and contributes to increased inflammation and high blood pressure, both of which are risk factors for heart disease. So whenever possible, try to choose a well-balanced diet with whole and minimally processed foods, whole grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, fruits, seafood, protein, white meat, poultry, protein, beans as a protein source, and drink zero-calorie beverages. There are a lot of flavorful ones out there. And begin to really dial back consumption of foods from convenience packaging and, you know, other than maybe the fruits and the vegetables or some seafood, the freezer section is loaded with ultra-processed foods. Just gotta say no to that stuff. When you're buying bread, make sure it's a whole grain bread. I'm out of time. I hope that you had a lovely week. I thank you for listening, and I will be back again next Friday with another edition of Food for Thought.
You've been listening to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories, with your host, Jolie Root. Tune in again next time as Jolie sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.
USA News, I'm Laura Winters. We have breaking news at this hour. The Wall Street Journal reporting the first group of hostages being held by Hamas for the past 7 weeks in Gaza have been released and are on the move en route back to Israel. This is a group of 13 women and children, we are told. Senior advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Mark Regev, in an interview on CNN, saying Israel...